The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, March 26, 2017, broadcasting live from the studios at WGBB 1240 AM and 95.9 FM from West Babylon, New York. I am Gary Harding, along with my tag team partners, John Panarese and John Sweeney. And for the next hour, we're going to be talking Islanders hockey. We're going to have two interviews tonight. One will be live, and one later on was from a pre-recorded interview that John Panarese and I did this morning. We're going to be talking with Islanders play-by-play announcer Brendan Burke, and we're going to discuss what's been going on for the last couple of days as the tight race to get the number 8 spot in the Eastern Conference will go for the next 2 weeks, where all of us Islander fans are sitting in this room and in Islander country are going to be concerned with every game that happens. And in the second half hour, we're going to be talking to Alan Fearing, the play-by-play voice of the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. We talked with Alan earlier this morning before their game this afternoon against the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, as the Sound Tigers are trying desperately to get themselves into a playoff position. And we'll talk about their situation, but it's unbelievable that their team right now, if they're in the other division in the conference, would be in first place by 4 points. But because where they are right now, they're 6 points out of a playoff spot. Guys, good evening, and how are you?
All right.
How's it going, Gary?
All right. Tough loss last night with the Boston Bruins. A tough game. 20 shots or less for both teams. You know, the opportunities, but you know what? Both teams did come out there looking like they were desperate for it, and unfortunately, our guys didn't come up with the 2 big points.
It was a tough game. It was a tough game. To come in there with six, you know, to have six power plays and go 0 for 6.
That's just, but, I don't know.
You know, 19 shots the total game. They had 13 going into the third. There's a lot of things. But also, you know, you got to look at the games before that, too. They were very emotional, and they probably may drain them because they beat the Rangers.
Right.
At the Garden.
Then they beat Pittsburgh.
Then they go to Pittsburgh. They beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh.
3-4.
Pitt might end up winning that division. You know, I mean, Pittsburgh won the cup last year. I mean, the Rangers are red hot too. I mean, those are two tough teams right there.
Exactly.
Right. And they came back home. They had, and look, I don't think they let down. And Boston was a desperate team. They lost 4 in a row. And Tuukka Rask is out. Boston was a desperate team to win that. They had to turn this thing around. It was a tight game. It could have went either way. Well, I mean, unfortunately, we were at the losing end of it. I wish we were at the winning end, yeah. But that's just how it plays out. No, Rice played great. I think the Islanders played a good game. I wish they would have more shots on net. That was the one thing. And their power play has to get better.
Absolutely. And we're gonna bring that up and a lot of other things with our first guest tonight. He is the play-by-play voice of the New York Islanders, and it's Brendan Burke. Brendan, it's Gary, John Sweeney, and John Panarese here on Sports Talk 1240. Thank you very much for, taking some time out of your busy, dealing with your brand new baby schedule and, joining us tonight.
Hey, gentlemen, good to hear from you. Happy to do it.
Hey, no problem. But before we get to the Islanders, I gotta ask you a very important question. Last Saturday, how was your first foray into calling Cam Jan?
It was interesting. I was still making sure I had the rules down pat by the time it was ready to go. And then, of course, the championship game, and I got John Tavares throwing frisbees there. And I'm, you know, usually he can't hear me when I'm doing play-by-play, so that was interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. So like I said, we were just talking before you came on the air about the tough loss last night to the Boston Bruins, the team that was obviously desperate trying to hold on to spot number 8, the Islanders holding spot number 8, and as Doug Waite said, and I think it was very well put, you know, it was a May game on March 25th.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, that was, it was an interesting game. I mean, obviously the Islanders, you know, were maybe a little bit drained. You're getting a Boston team that knew, I'm going to say that game was more important to Boston than it was to the Islanders, and I say that because Boston had lost 4 in a row. If they kept on sliding and had lost 5 in a row and then were 2 points out of the wild card, I mean, you could just see them completely unraveling. They had lost their goaltender. They were unsure if Tukaras coming back. So you've got all that going on. If they lose that game last night, you could say that they might just slide all the way off the table. The Islanders are still very much in it even after losing last night's game. So I think that they played a very good road game, Boston did. They limited chances, you know, sometimes at the expense of their own offense, but that kept and they held on for dear life. If the Islanders could have bought a power play goal, they would be talking about a different story.
Definitely, definitely. And I just before I ask my question, I don't know if you remember meeting us at the Booster Club game we went to a few weeks ago, but it was really cool meeting you, and you're doing a great job. And being blind, having the voice of somebody call the play-by-play is important to me, and you're doing a wonderful job.
Well, I appreciate that, and certainly you know, coming from you, that means a whole lot. This season for me has been, it's been a dream come true, but I was just hoping not to screw anything up for Islanders fans, because I'm just a guy that is, standing between you and your Islanders games. And so, if I can stay out of the way and people still enjoy the game, that's good enough for me.
Well, you haven't done anything to mess up.
All right.
My question, you know, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to dig up the past with the, you know, how, you know, overall, but since Doug Waite's taken over the team, obviously the team has, you know, definitely, it shows in the standings. And, you know, from your perspective, what have you noticed different? How or why do you think they're particularly playing better and they're in the position they're in now?
Yeah, I think Doug's style on the ice is a little bit more aggressive. Since he's taken over both in the defensive zone and the offensive zone. But really, to me, I think the biggest change is something that wasn't even on the ice. I think it was the relationship that Doug Waite had with the players and you know, his ability to kind of cultivate those relationships and get more out of guys, you know, maybe that Jack wasn't. And so I think that a lot of it's behind the scenes, and a lot of it is his relationship with the guys. He meets with them a lot more one-on-one, it seems. And I think that that's kind of drawn. You've seen guys... you know, you've seen more out of Andrew Ladd. You saw more out of Ryan Strome before he got hurt. But later, I can never see differences in individual players. Jason Chimera is another one that you got more out of since he came in. And I don't think it's because they were necessarily doing anything else differently on the ice, per se, in terms of X's and O's, but just more out of what he was able to kind of not only communicate to them, but understand in the communication from them and take input from his players, because that I think, is a big part of it.
Hi, Brendan. This is John. I met you at the Islander game too, at the Booster Club too. I was talking to you about your dad being a sports writer for the Yankees. Must have been really cool growing up with that.
Especially yeah, it was interesting. I think, and now to be out at the other end of it and kind of understand what's going on. I mean, he's a longtime sports writer. Still writes for the New York Post, and traveled as the Yankee beat writer for the better part of my childhood. So
that's got to be the greatest. That's got to be one of the greatest jobs. I'm a Mets fan, but it's got to be one of the greatest jobs. To tell the truth.
Yeah, you know, I didn't realize how strange it was to actually go to a game and kind of in Yankee Stadium and you know, sit not behind home plate and not park in the players' parking lot until I was in high school. I just thought that was normal. And then I went with a few friends, and I'm like, this is strange. I didn't realize until after the fact how fortunate you were to have gone through that.
You must have been one of the most popular kids in school, because the Yankees were winning so much back then, and then you were probably, if you're bringing your buddies to the games, they were probably flipping out. Everyone was like, you were probably pretty popular back then.
Yeah, I don't know if I was popular, but we certainly had a good time at the baseball game.
The touch on the Islanders, I mean, look, they went on that road trip. They ended up with 5-3-1. They played fantastic. And I still think that they're going to win this wild card spot anyway. And I think there's a lot of life in this team, a lot of game left. Then they go beat the Rangers. It just seems like when they come home,
It's just the Winnipeg, the Carolina. It just seems like they are missing a step somewhere. What is your opinion on that?
Well, I mean, you're talking about the same team that had an 11-game point streak at home before the game.
Yeah, right. You're right about that. Yeah.
You know, and now have lost four games in a row. So, I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, this was a team that you dreaded going on the road, and then all of a sudden you're begging for them to go on the road. So, I'm not quite sure what it is. I don't necessarily chalk it up to where the games are being played and more so the circumstances of the games. I mean, that game back, that first game back against Carolina after the road trip, I mean, that was a tough game for me to get up for, and I'm not playing. I mean, we played in St. Louis the night before and finished off that road trip. And flew back, lost an hour coming from the central time zone to the eastern time zone, lost another hour because of the daylight savings time. We landed, they got into their beds probably somewhere around 3 a.m., maybe even later than that. That was on Sunday, and then Monday you get up and have a game, and then get back on an airplane to go play in Carolina on Tuesday. I mean, that was a real brutal stretch, and that was one of those trap games where you almost just hope something good happens because it's really hard to play in those games. So, you know, that one I can't fault them for. That was a really tough. And then last night, obviously, could have gone either way, and they've lost in the
I think that, you know, the Nashville game tomorrow, I'm going to the game, so most of the time when I'm at the game, the Islanders win, so I'm looking forward to that game.
Lock it up
that win tomorrow. They're 2 points in the box. Put it in the books. I want to ask you one question. Josh Hosang, I went and got his jersey actually yesterday. There was at least five people waiting for his jersey. Everybody's talking about it. All Islander fans, even the Ranger fans. I have some buddies. Even though they're the Darth Vader, the Evil Empire, the Ranger guys, they're even talking about Hosang. He's got the energy and this and that. Have you had an opportunity to actually talk to him? Because he is just taking this team by storm. Everybody loves him.
Yeah, and he's great in the locker room. And I really hope, you know, for the long-term success of the Islanders and the long-term success of Josh Hosang individually, because he is a great personality and a great guy to have in the room. And
I'm happy to hear that.
Nothing against John Tavares. He's the best player, one of the best players in the world. But in terms of the personality that Josh Hosang brings, I think he could become, you know, one of the faces of this team as long as his matches up with the personality and he doesn't get, you know, direction from that. But because I think from a media standpoint, he's going to be able to, because he's a good, he always has something interesting to say, and he's friendly, and you can go up and talk to him, and he's more than happy to chat with you. So he's been fun to watch. It's incredible to think that he was able to assimilate himself the NHL game as quickly as he had, and with very little growing pains. It's been impressive. He certainly handles the puck as well as anybody, and I've heard from pretty much every broadcaster from the opposing team the past 12 games. They always say the same thing to me. They go, hey, that kid's pretty fun to watch, and that's coming from, you know, everybody, not just Islanders fans, not just people that are invested in the team, but just fans of the game in general love to see a kid like that play.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, there was actually a quote from Larry Brooks talking about Hosang and how he said he's been surprised by him. And for him to like somebody on the Islander side is definitely a shock. Well, you know, you talked about, you know, and if you're on Sports Talk 1240 and you have the webcam on, all three of us are wearing Islander jerseys. You talked about number 91. You talked about number 66. And now you're going to have to talk about the third one, and that's my jersey that I bought actually for the Cam Jam thing on Saturday. I bought a Josh Bailey jersey because I'm usually having to defend him with these two guys all the time.
Well, not necessarily.
And my wife, who's also the Booster Club president, is one of the biggest Josh Bailey fans around. And I keep having to defend him on the best season he's ever had. And I think he's finally had the chance to show what kind of a player he's been. I know what kind of a guy he is off the ice and that, but just give these two knuckleheads over here a little bit of and maybe your insight of what you've seen from him this year, so I can maybe have a little bit of a smile on my face.
Brendan, tell the truth now.
Yeah.
I'm only kidding.
You know, one thing, here's the truth. He's got 50 points. So I understand that he's got 50 points, guys. I mean, that's a significant number of points for anybody in their league. You know, I never watched Josh Bailey on a consistent basis before this season. So I don't have a skewed perspective as well. He's somewhat struggling finding his game. Just watching him this year, I think he's a terrific hockey player. I mean, I'm not judging him on anything else but the 73 games that we played this season. Favorite that, and I think he is a guy that can skate with John Tavares, that can play with John Tavares. And as strange as it may sound, that's not an easy thing to do. Playing with him, with John Tavares, is not, it's not only on the wing I can get 50 points. That's not true. It's almost harder to play with a guy like that because of his elite skill, his elite vision on the ice, and the way he thinks the game. You have to be able to think that along with him. And if you can't do it, you can't play with him. And that's why you saw so many guys run through that left wing spot when they were opening up the season, because it's hard to find a guy that can with John Tavares because of his elite skills. I think Bailey has finally gotten his game up to that level, understanding it with John Tavares, developed that chemistry, and I think we're reaping the benefits of it this season.
Exactly. Well, I just wanted to make sure my buddy, Mr. Sweeney over here heard that. You know, they had to make the call. They brought Yara Halak back, and again, I think he was just absolutely fantastic on Friday night. Obviously, you know, with the stretch, you know, we've all seen, you know, unfortunately, what's happened with J.F. Berube's playing time and the lack of playing time, and unfortunately, he's had to suffer. And I've seen he's been such a trooper throughout. But your thoughts about obviously having an experienced goaltender like Halak be here for that stretch run, someone who's had the playoff experience he has, to maybe help Thomas Greiss and him hopefully get this team over the hump. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that this was, you know, the best action the team could take. I think he's an NHL All-Star in the past, a guy whose, you know, career stats, forget about this season, but his career stats in the National Hockey League are very, very good. But when you have an opportunity to, you're going to need him, you already need one in Pittsburgh, you're going to need him to, you know, at the end of the season with another back-to-back. That's at the fair minimum. You're going to need him for two more games. And you want to give your team the best chance to win, you know, those two games. I think that it was the right thing to do. I think that obviously if it could have worked out to have kept him here the whole season, that would have been ideal. You know, it just wasn't working out with the three goaltender situation, and the way they decided to solve it was to keep two, and Yaro wound up the odd man out. I don't think when he was pressing for him to figure out the three goalie situation that he thought the answer was going to be him spending 3 months in Bridgeport. But that is a hard thing for an NHL veteran to do. I've seen it from the other end. Back in 2008-2009 in Peoria, where they who was an All-Star the year before, Manny Legacy, the very same thing. And I've talked to him about it a little. And play the right way and act the right way and show those guys what it's like to be a National Hockey Leaguer. And I've talked to guys in Pittsburgh now this season, and they said he was absolutely fantastic. He handled the right way, and he...
We're having a little trouble. Sorry, Brendan. We're just having a little trouble with your connection.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it's a little better. Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay. No worries. I'm just saying everybody...
Oops.
Oops. Did we lose him? You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. I guess the cell phone connection is a little bit off. John, go ahead.
I was going to just ask one other. We've been talking about different players and who've played with John Tavares, but I'd get into trouble with my nephew Christopher. We talked about Josh Bailey, one of his big heroes, but Anders Lee, I think, is another one of these guys that's kind of gone a little under the radar as far as, like, everybody's trying to still talk about the left winger to find to play with JT, and upsteps Lee, and he's got 28 goals, and I think he's playing the best hockey of his career.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, 28 goals, he's going to wind up with 30-plus. I think both him and Tavares are going to wind up with 30-plus. I love Anders Lee. I love him in front of that. The guy takes a beating. He goes back to the pretty areas that Butchie likes to talk to and plants himself in front of the net. And he has elite hand-eye coordination. There may be guys that do it as good as Anders Lee, but I don't think there's anybody that does it better in terms of knocking rockets out of the air and putting in the right spot. So with his skill set, it complements the other two guys on the line. Something. A couple of players. NHL All-Star guys, not a guy you're going to have to pay $6-7 million a year to play along with Tavares, but you're getting those kind of results from guys like Liam Bailey. So
right.
I've been really impressed with what he's done, especially after with one goal in his first 18 games, what he's done and since then to pick up his game.
Yeah, Brendan, I want to ask you, first of all, I want to say thank you, you know, congratulations for getting on with us with the analysts, because you do a great job. And I just wanted to touch, in my opinion, calling a hockey game is one of the hardest, and I talked to Jigs about this before, is one of the hardest things to do, and I think you do a fantastic job calling the game. What is your preparation for before the games, just to tell the fans how much work you got to put into this with the announcing the games?
Oh, well, thank you very much, first of all, for saying that. It's been an incredible year, and I'm really happy to have been not only made it to the National Hockey League, but finding such a great home here with the Islanders. I couldn't have picked a better spot, really.
And everybody welcomed you with open arms. It's like you've been there for years. You're doing a fantastic job. I just want to tell you that. And we hear a lot from a lot of Islander fans.
And it is greatly appreciated. I think that, like I alluded to earlier, I just tried to stay out of the way. All I wanted to do was make sure everybody was still enjoying Islanders hockey, because you guys don't care that I... That's my job. So I just try...
Unfortunately, we're still having trouble.
Oops. You still there?
Did we lose him?
No, well.
Sorry, we're still having trouble, Brendan, with your connection. If you can just repeat that.
Sorry, guys.
No, don't worry about it. That's okay. It happens.
I just, my person, that was my plan. I'm not afraid to talk about things that happened even though I wasn't here. And just trying to kind of work that way, because, like I said, you guys don't care that I'm new. So hopefully that's worked out well. You know, in terms of preparation, it's nonstop. It's constant. It's I paused the Nashville Predators game against San Jose Sharks from last night that I was watching, you know, to come do this interview. And I'm going to go watch the rest of it when I'm done. So, you know, you're constantly watching games. If you've ever seen the board that I have in front of me, it takes a lot of work. And it's a legal size piece of paper in size 6.5 font, full of information that I have in front of me. And then it's just it's a nonstop preparation for these games. It's well worth doing the homework.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've seen Chris King does, and I've seen what you do, and obviously also having a guy like Eric Hornick, who's been doing the statistician work for the last 30 years. He is one of the most amazing people I've ever met, and I will tell you one little quick story, and I have to kind of pick on you a little bit, because as you know, we interviewed John and I interviewed Alan Fearing this morning, and I know the story that you hired him in Peoria as an intern, and he said the only thing he had a little problem with his whole time in Peoria with you is that he kind of always got stuck with the yellow Laffy Taffys. What's the story with that?
The poor guy.
Yeah, the poor guy.
You know, it's funny because in Peoria, you know, we don't have this glorious press meal that we have here in the National Hockey League.
That's true.
We got a voucher for $8 to the concession stand for our game nights there at the Peoria Civic Center. And a couple of my interns would use their $8 and buy $8 worth of candy. And Alan was one of them that would get the Laffy Taffy, but he would never eat the yellow ones. And I would always find them in my radio case or in my bag, and he would hide them different places. So the yellow Laffy Taffy is...
Oh, it's funny. Did he kind of say it the other way around?
Yeah, really.
He was saying you gave it to him.
Let's just think about this for a second. I was broadcasting the game. You think I was chewing on taffy?
Well, you're going to have to definitely check the podcast out tomorrow when it comes out, Brendan, and hear what he had to say about it.
Yeah,
but
he has a different story.
Yeah,
I'm sure. He's got a lot of different stories.
Well, listen, we want to let you get back to the game, but, you know, I will just say on a personal note, you know, we talked about the Islander Booster Club, which I'm involved with, and we hosted a national convention last August around the time that you were getting hired, and we had we flew Jigs in to be our keynote speaker and stuff like that. And when I picked him up at LaGuardia and we were driving out to the hotel out in Suffolk County, he says, "I'll tell you something, Gary." He says, "I just talked to a guy that's probably going to be your play-by-play guy, and I'm telling you," he says, "5 minutes listening to him, you're going to love him." and he has been absolutely right. I mean, everybody, anybody that I've talked to, whether it's, you know, people connected with the club, fans in general, Facebook boards, everybody was concerned, obviously, you know, people got to like Howie and got used to Howie, and of course we were all spoiled with Jigs during the cup years and that, but you've come in and seamlessly, you know, we've been giving you all the kudos in the world, and it really means it from the bottom of our hearts. Again, you portray the team to us, and it makes us proud to be Islander fans. And saying from everybody in Islanders Nation, you have done such a great job. We are very thankful you have signed that contract to be with us, and we wish you again nothing but success, and we hope for a lot more calling wins in the next
Stanley
game
Cup,
so we can, do the
finals.
First round of the playoffs.
Well, I appreciate all of that, and let me just, I will say this. First, let me say how grateful I am to Jigs and Howie for what they've done for me here transitioning in. They've been really incredible from the day I got the job until today with everything they've done for me, and even Jigs for literally flying in to call games when my son was born. But I also do want to say this. If they offer me a 30-year contract, I'd sign it. I mean, I am more than happy to be here, and I love being here. So thank you guys for welcoming me.
That's awesome to hear. Thank you, Brendan.
Yes.
And congratulations on your son. And put it in the books tomorrow. I'm going to the game, so it's a win.
Uh-oh.
Well, all right. Well, I wish we had a few more home games for you to get to then.
Yeah, well, Brendan, I'll give you his number off the air. If we don't win, you can rip on him, okay?
That's right.
Well, listen, go back to your game. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk down the road. Thanks again for joining
us
tonight.
Man. It was a beautiful, good job.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. That was Brendan Burke. Unfortunately, the connection wasn't the best, but he is a very genuine guy. I mean, we all love him, obviously, here, and anybody that I've talked to has been so incredibly thrilled with how he's done. He's the great rapport with Butch Goring, too, which is,
He's doing, like you said, Gary, he's doing an awesome job. Every single buddy I run into that we actually bring him up says he's doing an outstanding job. It's like we never missed a beat. He's been there since.
That's what it is. It feels like he's been there for years.
He's doing an awesome job. He's a great guy. You could just tell by just listening to him and talking.
Okay, so listen, we're gonna take a quick break, pay a couple bills, and when we come back, John and I again did an interview earlier this morning with Alan Fearing, the voice of the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, and that will be on the next half hour of Sports Talk 1240. Gary, John, and John here with you. Make sure you come back and tune in to the next half hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your Gust Buster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
And we're back on the second half hour of Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, March 26, 2017. Gary, John, and John here with you. First of all, before we go to the interview, I just want to wish a personal congratulations to MSG Pre-game host Shannon Hogan, who just got engaged to her boyfriend Brendan of many years. We wish her all the love and happiness of the world. She is an absolutely wonderful person to talk to. We've interviewed her, and she's a great guest, and she does a great job on the pregame shows. And again, congratulations. The following interview, again, John and I did this morning with Alan Fearing, the voice of the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. We talked about their struggles as they're trying to get into the playoffs right now. And again, as the right now, as the season would have ended, the Bridgeport Sound Tigers are in fifth place in their division, 6 points out of a playoff spot. If they were in the other division, they would be in first place. But unfortunately, five great teams in one division, and it's a struggle for them to get through. So John and I talked with Alan about the state of the Sound Tigers, what's been going on, about the loss of, obviously, of our Halak and Josh Hosang and some other things going on in Bridgeport. So without any further ado, here is our interview with Alan Fearing.
And we're back on this Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, March 26, 2017. Gary and John with you. By the way, this is a pre-recorded interview. This was taped this morning. But our guest for the second half hour of our show is Alan Fearing, the radio voice of the Bridgeport Sound Tigers, who are right now, as we are pushing this live, they will just have played their game against the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. And Alan, it's John and Gary here, and we appreciate you coming on this morning and talking Bridgeport Sound Tigers with us.
Yeah, hey guys, I appreciate you having me.
Well, again, last night, as the Islanders were having their difficulties with the Boston Bruins, a rough start for the Sound Tigers playing their last game of the season against their closest rivals, the New York Ranger-run Hartford Wolfpack. They suffered a 4-3 defeat, but it was it looked in the beginning, the first two periods, like it was not a good run for the Sound Tigers. But, Alan, if you can give us just a brief synopsis of it, they did make a great comeback late just to finish a little bit short.
Yeah, the Sound Tigers guys really showed the resiliency that they've had pretty much all season. And unfortunately, the comeback wasn't completed, but down 3-0 in the third period a little bit earlier on, and scored three goals in the third, just couldn't come all the way back, suffered a 4-3 loss, like you said. It was a really, really good game. The first period was kind of back and forth. Nobody had a clear-cut advantage. In the second period, we just made a couple mistakes, and Hartford capitalized on them and led 2-0 after the second. In the third period, I think the Sound Tigers had that frame from start to finish. A couple of lapses where Hartford capitalized yet again, but Andrew Rowe scored two goals for us. Kellen Jones, one of our two twin brothers on the team, scored. And like you said, a tough loss, tough night for the organization overall. But here on the Sound Tigers side, it definitely hurts. But at the same time, you like knowing that the guys aren't going to give up when they're down 3-0 in the third.
And of course, as we said, that the you guys left Hartford and went to Lehigh Valley to play the Flyers team. And the Sound Tigers are in a very difficult situation. Right now, they're sitting in fifth place in their division. Right now, if the season would have ended today and they were playing in the other division, the North Division in the conference, they'd be in first place, would be securing a playoff spot, but right now are having to actually have that tooth and nail battle for that last spot in the in their division. Describe the situation, for many of the Long Island folks that really haven't had as much chance to get a listen to the Sound Tigers, but I mean they're in some dogfight right now.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's different from the NHL in that in the AHL it's strictly the top four teams in each division, like you alluded to, and boy, it's really frustrating right now because you look at even the Western Conference teams, and we would be in third place at worst in any of those divisions over there. So, between us, between the Hershey Bears, which is Washington's affiliate, and also Providence, the Boston Bruins affiliate, one of these three teams is going to be on the outside looking in come April 15th. And they're going to have a far better record than a lot of the teams that are going to miss the playoffs. In fact, they're going to have a better record than teams that are in the playoffs. And so it's really frustrating, but it creates one heated race to the postseason right now. And we've been in the middle of it for the last month and a half, or 2 months, I should say. And it's one of those things where we just have to take care of business when we can, and we've got to hope for some help right now. We don't control our own destiny. We're in fifth place, and I think right now we're 4 points out of that fourth position. So we definitely need some help, and again, if April 15th and the end of the regular season comes and we're on the outside looking in, it's going to be a tough one to swallow because we're going to have a lot better of a record than some teams that are in the playoffs.
That's just, that's really the crazy thing about, you know, a lot of the different sports. You know, you have the playoff setup that always creates these situations where you look at a team and say, geez, if they were playing in another division, another conference, you know, they would be in the playoffs. They deserve to be in the playoffs. And it's extra tough because, you know, being an affiliate to, you know, let's say the Islanders, the pro teams where they're constantly taking players from your roster, you know, to fill in holes in the big club, so to speak. How has this particularly impacted the Tigers, you know, especially with two particular guys, you know, Jaro Halak and Joshua Hosang?
Yeah, sure. It definitely hurts, to answer your question. It's one of those things I think every single team has to deal with it at some point. I don't think we're the only ones that get hurt by it. Everybody, you know, is in the American Hockey League as far as players go to make it to the NHL. And, you know, this is a development league for a reason. This is supposed to happen. Guys are supposed to be down here and then go up, especially in Joshua Seng's case, a rookie who started out here, played very well, you know, started out a little bit slow, to be honest, but he picked it up. And his play away from the puck really improved over the course of the second half of the year, and now he's showing just how exciting he can be and how dangerous he can be in the NHL. But at the same time, yeah, it hurts the Sound Tigers because he was really playing well when he got called up, and that created a void on our second line. He was playing well with Michael Dal Cole, another first-round pick in 2014, and also Josh Winquist, who was an AHL center here, the Sound Tigers, and those three had developed really good chemistry, so when he left, that created a void there that we had to fill, and to an extent, I think we're still trying to fill it. I know Tanner Fritz, one of our wingers, has come into that role now and played pretty well, so I'm still just trying to find the groove for missing him, and then also Jaroslav Halak. It's pretty obvious that he was a really big piece to this team, and you know, when he joined this team right around New Year's, we were 9 points out of a playoff spot. We were not playing well at all. He came in, settled everybody down, made everybody believe in themselves a little bit more, and I think just his presence really made a huge impact on this team and made guys around him better. And over the course of the 26, 27 games that he was here for, we went from 9 points out of a playoff spot to, at times, like 4 or 5 points in a playoff spot. So he really turned things around for us. But very happy for him. He came here knowing that if he worked hard, he was going to get another shot you know, with the Islanders and the National Hockey League overall. And it's really good to see that he's back up there, and I was really excited to see he had that win against Pittsburgh in the 37-save effort. So, again, yeah, it's tough for the Sound Tigers here to lose those guys, but this is a development league for a reason, and I'm very excited to see them both playing well up in New York.
You know, it's interesting, Alan, that, you know, this year as opposed to other prior seasons that you, the Sound Tigers, and obviously you weren't here for that, the Islanders treated it as predominantly a developmental team. They were always a very young team, a lot of young kids going back and forth. Obviously, with this year's team, you started the year with Steve Bernier. Obviously, he got hurt in January, but you had him. You've had Brakkten Kearns. You've had, obviously, Jaro Halak up here. Even Eric Bolton hanging around. You know, it's been a very a very elder team, but I think, looking from an outside looking in, am I wrong to say that I think that those guys have been an unbelievable help in the development of the younger kids, especially the upsurgence of Josh Hosang over his last 20 games in the AHL, and I see that Michael Dahl's play has gotten marked better since we talked last a couple of months ago?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it depends on how you look at it from a development aspect. Do you want all young guys, or do you want to mix up, you know, the young prospects that you have with the veterans? And that's the case here at the Sound Tigers. And I think you're absolutely right. I think having Brakkten Kearns, for one, in the locker room has been absolutely, you know, one of the biggest things that these young guys have taken. He's provided a lot of information that these young guys are taking away and, you know, putting into their game and trying to improve their style. Eric Bolton, too, just having the presence in the locker room and at practice. He always works hard at practice, even at 40 years old. So just their attitudes in general rub off on these young guys. And I think you're absolutely right in the fact that this team, although it's a little bit older than most teams in the AHL when you look at the average age, it definitely helps the younger guys when they can feed off this experience. And I forget, we counted it up one time. There's like 1,700 and some games of NHL experience in our locker room between Kearns and Bolton and Bernier and Halak when he was here. And that's something that a lot of guys that are in their rookie season or their second year pro in the AHL, they don't get, because a lot of other teams see the development side as, you know, I'm going to fit as many young prospects in as I can to get them ice time, and that doesn't leave a lot of room for the veterans on the team.
Now, you know, I had a conversation recently with a friend of mine, and just kind of give us an idea. I mean, everybody talks about, I hear Devin Toews' name quite a bit as far as, like, the guys to who to look forward to, so to speak, the guys who sort of come in under the radar and all of a sudden, you know, are starting to be names that are spoken about having a shot at you know, making the professional team. So, you know, beyond him and obviously Michael Delcol, who else has kind of surprised you? Who's kind of been taking the forefront here?
Yeah, well, I mean, Ryan Pollock explained very well, but that's not really a shocker.
Yeah, that's not a shocker.
Yeah, guys in New York don't know it all, so we'll skip over him. Tanner Fritz is a winger that I mentioned earlier. He's on an AHL contract right now, but he was actually in Islanders training camp last fall. He's had a very good year. He's kind of bounced around from line to line. He hasn't had the same set of teammates on his line all year, but he settled into that second line right now with Josh Winquist and Michael Dalcol, and he's, like, I believe, second on the team in goal scoring right now, only behind Bracken Kearns. He's got 19 goals on the season. He's been awfully consistent here in the back half of the season, too. If he doesn't get a point in a game, he'll come back the next game and he'll get 2 points. He's a similar type to Josh Hosang in that he's very quick. He can turn on a dime. He sees the game very well. He finds open lanes that a lot of other guys can't find. And so I think that's a guy who, you know, may get a shot in the National Hockey League here at some point in time. He's in his rookie season. He's out of Ohio State and still a very young guy. He's got a long way to go. I think if he, you know, can, you know, pick up the physical aspect of his game a little bit, he's a guy you're going to want to keep an eye on. So Tanner Fritz offensively. On the defensive side, he talked about Devon Toews. Certainly, I think it's a matter of if, then when, if he makes the National Hockey League. I've said that all along. Or rather, when than if, excuse me. And his line mate most of the season has been Kyle Burrows. He's also an Islanders prospect who was taken in the 7th round a few years ago. You know, he's been very good positionally. He's a guy who plays a lot bigger than he looks. Very physical kid. And I think Kyle Burrows is another guy who, you know, he's got some work to do yet, but he's a guy I wouldn't be surprised next to the Islanders in the next 2 or 3 years.
So obviously with the departure of Yara Halak back up to New York, they brought Stefan Williams back. I know Stefan and Eamon McAdam are actually pretty good friends, so they're having to deal with the tandem together for the stretch run. But obviously, you know, missing a guy of Yaro's case with such a pedigree and such a vast amount of experience has hurt the team. But how do you think these goaltenders are going to stack up for the stretch?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be one heck of a learning curve for them to just to be honest. They've had good seasons so far. Stefan Williams coming back up from Missouri just got pushed down there because of Yaro coming in. You know, I think right now it's going to be a matter of who can take that number one spot. I think head coach Brent Thompson is going to let them battle back and forth for it. There's going to be no clear-cut number one right now. So that creates a situation between the two of them that will make each of them better, because as they battle for number one, it's going to, you know, push the other one to be a little bit better. And, you know, I think that overall and that competitive, that friendly competitiveness between those two is going to help the Sound Tigers, because these kids are going to go out night in and night out and give it their all, and knowing that, you know, there's a number one spot on the line for this team.
Right.
Eamon McAdam's got the advantage right now. I think he played in last night's game, and we'll see for Stefan Williams if he gets the nod in Lehigh. But, I think between those two guys just pushing each other is going to help this team tremendously here down the stretch.
Okay, so in a couple minutes we got, obviously, you know, just give us a little bit of a scouting report of what's going to be happening for the next week. And then after you do that, as you know, we're pre-recording this earlier on Sunday, and Brendan Burke will be coming on as our guest before we do your interview, but we got to at least end this with one little tidbit and a little bit of a trash talk, if you will, on your former friend up in Peoria.
Yeah, I was going to actually ask you guys whose idea was it to put him on first.
I have to take credit, unfortunately, but you know that's just the way it goes.
I was outvoted, Alan. I was, you know.
No, it's all good, man. I don't know if I have anything to trash talk him about. He's helped my career tremendously. He actually hired me as an intern in Peoria when I was 19 years old, going to school, and he always used to like buy these Laffy Taffies at the Peoria Rivermen games, which was an AHL team back then, not anymore. And
right.
He would always give me like the yellow ones, the banana ones, and I hate the banana Laffy Taffies.
Oh God, I do too. That's ironic.
Yeah, so he would eat all the good ones, and he'd give me all of those. And not that that's trash talk or anything. That's something that he did to me that I just didn't really enjoy that much.
Well, I guarantee you, if you listen to the interview tomorrow, if you check on our podcast, it'll be up on Monday. I'm sure we're going to make comment on that, you know, beforehand, so we'll make sure we get a little jab in. But Alan, just give us a little update as to what's happening with the Sound Tigers next week, because obviously I know every game is important, but what's the situation?
Yeah, we'll talk about a bad time for a season-long road trip. That continues on next week. We're on a six-game road trip, so after Lehigh Valley, it'll be three games left on the trip. So we play Wednesday in Springfield against the Thunderbirds. That's the Florida Panthers affiliate. And then next week when we wrap the trip up, another trip to Pennsylvania, we've got Lehigh Valley again on Friday. And then April Fool's Day on Saturday, we've got the Hershey Bears, which is Washington's affiliate. And that's a huge four-point swing because that's the team we're battling for one of these final playoff spots with. So, the guys know what's ahead of them. It's going to be fun to watch here. I'm glad, I'm not down on the ice and I'm upstairs watching it from above because it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And, however it plays out, these guys have had a great run so far and they're certainly not out of it. They've got some work to do here, but it should be a lot of fun to watch. And I'm really excited to see what the next couple weeks has in store.
Well, listen, Alan, we appreciate you taking some time and talking with us, and wish the guys the best of luck for us, and we hope good things come, and hopefully we'll be talking to you as we talk about the Calder Cup playoffs.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you guys having me. Take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Good luck, Alan.
Thanks.
And that was our interview with Alan Furing this morning, and I think maybe we should start a Twitter war between Alan and Brendan about who really got the yellow Laffy Taffy.
I think Taffygate has just begun.
We do have Taffygate. That's for sure. So we'll definitely have to settle that on Twitter tomorrow or what have you. But just to let you guys know, the game was on the NHL Network tonight. Bridgeport had taken a 3-1 lead after two periods in Lehigh Valley. Stephen Williams was in net, and I literally left at the end of the second period, and they were like ridiculous. Stephen was, I think, had 24 or 25 saves. They were up 3-1, and it turns out they lost in overtime.
Eesh.
So they are now 5 points behind Hershey with seven games left, and they have one game in hand on the Hershey Bears, who they play on Sunday, the last game of their road trip. So, like I said, that's a huge of a 4-point swing, as you can imagine. So they are in make or break mode. So they need to do what the Islanders did on their big road trip a couple weeks ago and get some big W's.
Right. Yes.
So we got about 10 minutes to go. We talked about with Brendan what's the situation with the standings. Obviously, tomorrow, it's John Sweeney night at the Barclays Center.
big win
for the Sweeney family.
You
heard it here first. He's guaranteeing it. And then Thursday, a tilt in Philadelphia against the Flyers.
It'll be a tough game too.
They are tough. I mean, Philly's now obviously down in the standings a little bit. They're 6 points behind the Islanders right now. Pretty much
spoilers.
You could say right now that they're pretty much out of it. You look at the standings right now, you're only talking maybe three teams that are realistically have a shot of catching Boston right now. Obviously, we're at 82. with 74 games. Tampa's at 81 with 74 games. If we would if they would be tied, I think the Islanders right now have a one game advantage on the regulation overtime. Carolina, who has gone unbelievable 7-0-3 in their last 10 games, have vaulted themselves all the way up to 79 points. So they are surprising themselves. Florida now at 77. I think they're you know they've gone 4-6 in their last 10.
Yeah,
one two in a row, but they've definitely shown some signs of wear and tear, with obviously then Philly, Buffalo, Detroit, and Jersey rounding out the bottom of that. So obviously, you know, we always kept saying every game is important, but now it really, really
is. And then they
really
had the Devils one. Is it Friday or Saturday?
I believe it's Friday.
Day after Philly, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So it's basically coming down to us, Boston, Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
For that last spot right there.
Exactly.
And just, but, you know, bottom win games. I mean, we could do. We've done it before. We could do it.
We just got to win. That's what it comes down to.
We have the goal.
You remember Easter many years ago when we played in New Jersey on the last game of the season.
Yeah, I remember watching.
And
that
a guy
brothers.
By the name of Wade Dubowitz,
right.
You know, did that poke check in the shootout and put us into the playoffs. You know, we end the year unfortunately not in at the Rock, but with New Jersey. So, you know, the Devils could make our playoff destiny potentially come true.
And I think Boston plays the last game of the day before.
Right. Actually, they finished the season before the Islanders play their last two games.
Right.
So they'll be done. They'll know exactly what they need to have. So, you know, you can't find fault in that. Now, you know, that's...
Let's hope it doesn't come down
playing,
to that, though.
You're playing to earn yourself. You know, you can't hope. You know, there's no more scoreboard watching when it comes down to them.
No, you got to win. I've been saying this all along. It's there. You know, obviously, what happens on the in the scoreboard is important. But from their perspective, they got to win the points. You can't worry about the other teams. You know, if they don't have enough points at the end, then you know whatever. But you got to win. If you're not going to win, they keep squandering these points.
Yeah, the Winnipeg and...
The Columbus game, they lost in overtime.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
And the Winnipeg was...
The Carolina game was the one that coming back from that road trip.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Brendan was talking about. You know, you lose all that time zone, you come in, and that was the most flattest game I could imagine. And then, you know, the... The first two periods. I guess was the Winnipeg game was right. The first two periods they played
horrible.
Yeah,
they played horrible. It was a horrible game. And you know maybe they had to get their legs back and this and that. But
you can't.
That's a winnable
points.
Game. You have to win.
You
that
can't
game.
Squander points. Not this point in the season.
This Boston game, like we talked about before, this was like a playoff atmosphere. Boston was a desperate team. They lost four in a row. I mean, the only thing is that Tuukka Rask. The starting goalie's out, and the backup's in there. But, hey, look.
Kudobin's actually done – actually, if you heard the stats, since they fired Julian, he's been on fire.
Right.
So he's not really been a – I mean, he is a backup, yes, but he's not playing like a backup.
But Tuukka Rask, right,
and they've solved him. And the Islanders had solved Rask during the season, so it wasn't – But you got to – again, we got to look at –
That game was so close. You could have won either way.
You have to look at tomorrow. You have to look at Nashville. Nashville is a very, very scary team.
Dangerous team. Nashville's a dangerous team because they're hungry. They're in third right now. They want to keep moving. Mm-hmm. They don't want to end up coming in the wild card team playing the top team. They want to keep winning right now.
And you have and St. Louis is on their tail. I mean, you know that they're pretty much solidified because there's 9 points separating – the number two wild card spot in the West.
It's going to be a tough game.
From the LA Kings, who have completely obliterated themselves.
Done. Finished.
Yeah, they're completely. So pretty much the Western Conference is set. I mean, I kudos to Calgary and Edmonton, who had horrible seasons last year, turned their seasons around, have played absolutely fantastic hockey. Yeah, it's great to see a resurgence in Edmonton. It's been 10 years since
Connor McDavid's a special player.
It's been 10 years since the Edmonton Oilers made the playoffs. You know, so, I mean, you know, really much kudos to them. Obviously, we know what's going on. The Rangers have played well. 3-0 shutout against the LA Kings last night. They're playing Anaheim tonight. Henrik Lundqvist returns to the net in 6 minutes as they hope to solidify their playoff spot. You know, hey, you know, granted, they're playing well right now with a lot of injuries, a lot of things going on, but You know, they're pretty much set in stone. They're going to probably be playing the Montreal Canadiens, and the way the NHL goes, they're going to be the road team and with more points than the Atlantic Division leading Canadiens. But you know, that's the way the NHL is.
And you know something about the Rangers? They're the best road team in the NHL.
Yeah, 27-9-1. You can't knock that. So no. I mean, that could be
big. They got a decent team.
They got a decent team, and they're going to be. It's going to be a challenge. You know what? It's going to be a fun last 2 weeks of the season.
It's just funny how their king, Hank, came back. He was back yesterday. But he selectively picks the games that he wants to play in. So they're going against – he's going against the week. He didn't want to play against the Kings yesterday.
Yeah, but again, a weaker L.A. Kings team, but he's playing against a strong Anaheim team. So, you know, maybe he wants to play against a better competition. I mean, we've seen what L.A. has done. You know, they pretty much
L.A. just stopped scoring.
Stopped scoring, and their goaltending has been extremely suspect.
Which is amazing when you think of their goaltending.
I watched some of that game last night. He played a good game. He only had two goals. I mean, Quick is still, he's got two cups under his belt. You can never doubt that guy. He was out for most of the season with another bad injury.
Right.
He's a superstar. Guys get, you know. Mm-hmm. But getting back, let's go Islanders. You know, we got this. We got Halak back. The goaltending's perfect for us, right?
Wow. Well, we'll see.
Well, it's a good. I think it's a good move.
Well, Halak's hungry right now.
Halak's hungry.
Bryce is the starter. He took us into the second round last year. But you know, it's nice to have. You know that you got Halak, a seasoned veteran, like he did before with us. He did it with Montreal. He can do it.
They can back up each other. They can play every other game.
And he's hungry.
Have fresh goaltending going through, and that's what this team needs right now.
Right.
They need it. They right now. I'm telling you now. 8 games left. 6-1-1 is a minimum this team needs.
Right, absolutely.
They need to almost run the table.
I agree with you, Gary.
No, and it has to be the case.
6-1-1. Yes.
Well, listen, guys, hour went quick, huh?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming in and doing the job as always, Mr. Sweeney. You know you're always welcome with us because I know you and your.
Nothing with the Mets. Nothing.
No.
Season starts next week.
Season starts a week from Monday. We're looking forward to it. Well, you know, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it on our next show. I think it's April 25th. I think we're back on. But you know, I want to end the show with a little 1 minute song.
You got it.
Anybody have ever seen the show Nashville? It's one of my favorite shows, and there's a girl on there by the name of Hayden Panettiere who plays one of the main characters, and you know, in season two. She had all sorts of problems, and she was making a so-called comeback. And one of the songs, and we're going to end the show on this, it's basically Don't Put Dirt on My Grave Just Yet. And that's going out to the Islanders because, you know what, don't put the great dirt on our grave yet because we still got a shot.
I agree.
Make you some business.
Absolutely.
John and John, thank you very much for coming on.
Let's go Islanders.
Stay tuned for the second hour of Sports Talk 1240. We're going to end you with Hayden Panettiere. Don't put dirt on my grave just yet. Have a good night. In the words of my friend Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.